Welcome to Chart and Compass Ministry, a ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral, helping you to navigate through the storms of this life by the ever-accurate compass of the Word of God. I'm pleased to share with you today another message from Pastor Greg LeSeer, and the message today is titled, Have the Higher Gifts Ceased, or Are They Still for Today?
Grace, His mercy, and His peace be with you today through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Well, today we're continuing our sermon series on the Holy Spirit. Today I'd like to look with you at the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and especially the ones that we consider supernatural, the more extraordinary gifts, the ones like prophecy and speaking in tongues and healing powers and the working of miracles. And we'll take a look at these today and see, are these things that the Holy Spirit just worked back in biblical days when He was establishing the church, or are these supernatural gifts, called the higher gifts by some, are they still in operation today? In other words, have they ceased, or do they continue? Should we seek them, or should we not seek them? What do the various churches that believe about this? What do we believe? And really, that's not so important. What is important is, what does the Bible say? What does God teach us about the spiritual, supernatural gifts of the Holy Spirit? Should we seek them or not? Do they still exist today, or have they ceased? Let's take a look at that today and see what we can learn by the Holy Spirit, who unfolds the Scriptures to us. What should we believe? Well, first of all, the Holy Spirit. Is He a robber or a gift giver? Obviously, the Holy Spirit gives gifts to us. He doesn't want to take away from us. He wants to give to us. And the primary gifts that the Holy Spirit gives to us, that we celebrate every week, is that He gives us Jesus Christ. Namely, in the preaching, He sends preachers to preach to us the gospel of how we're saved, how Jesus died for us, that He rose from the dead, and that we, believing on Him, should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. What a great gift He gives to us, eternal life and salvation in His name. He also gives us the gift of baptizing us, immersing us in those waters, burying us with Christ, raising us up to a new life in Jesus. He opens our ears daily to hear the Word and to grow up. So He comes inside of us and He conforms us into the image of Christ day after day, to be more and more like Him. Also, He gives us the good fruits. Remember in Galatians chapter 5, the fruit of the Spirit, it's right here, is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. He's a gift giver. That's what He's putting inside of you. He also keeps us for the day of Christ, for the return. He's protecting us every day. He's going with us all the way. He's a defender. He is a sanctifier, He's a keeper, He's a guardian, He's a friend to encourage you in Jesus all the way to the day of Christ's return. And at the last, at the end of the world, according to John 16, He's going to declare everything that Jesus has to you. You're going to be a co-heir with Christ of all things, and He'll raise you from the dead on the last day because His Spirit is living inside of you. Romans chapter 8, that same Spirit that raised Christ, since He lives inside of you, is going to raise you in the last day, that is your bodies, to live before Him forever in the kingdom to come. So He is a gift giver, to be sure. Not only these gifts, but He gives to each of us individually different, unique gifts that each of us is to use for the building up of the church. What are those gifts? Ephesians 4, apostles, prophets, teachers, evangelists, pastors, that's one. He also gives us gifts, according to Exodus 31, of craftsmanship. Those who built the tabernacle in the Old Testament had those gifts from the Holy Spirit. Musical abilities. Thank you, Dan and Ginger. 1 Chronicles 15, He gives musical abilities. Romans chapter 12, teaching, exhorting, contributing to the needs of the saints. Giving aid with zeal, doing acts of mercy with cheerfulness. So what's your gift that the Holy Spirit has given to you? Let's use it for the upbuilding of the church so that, you know, when Christ our Lord returns at the end, He can say, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over little. See, I set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. So those are all the primary gifts that he gives to us. But let's take a look today, especially at the higher gifts, the supernatural gifts, the more extraordinary gifts, things like, well, let's read it. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's see what we're to make of these. Paul says, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, to another the utterance of knowledge, to another faith by the same Spirit. And watch this, he says, to another gifts of healing, the power to heal, by the one Spirit. To another the working of miracles. To another prophecy. To another the ability to distinguish between spirits. To another various kinds of tongues. To another the interpretation of tongues. And all these are inspired by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills. So these are some of the supernatural ones. Speaking in tongues, prophecy, the powers to heal, working of miracles. And the question today is, what should we make about this? Is this something that was only given to the early church? Because certainly we see that Paul, in his days, these things seem to abound a lot, not as much in the centuries afterward. Are they still around? Are they still in operation for today? Should we still earnestly desire these things and seek them or not? What do the churches say? So there's basically three different views on the higher supernatural gifts. The first one is called cessationist. Can you say that word? Cessationist. These people in that camp of the cessationists believe that the supernatural higher gifts, tongues, interpretation of tongues, power to heal, prophecy, working of miracles, and the like, have ceased. They are over. It's done. That was just God setting up the church. He used miracles in those days. They believed the miracles then, but in our days, they're over. These kinds of supernatural gifts have completely ceased out of the church, and the Holy Spirit does not give them anymore. So you shouldn't seek them. This was just for the apostles and their immediate successors. Now, groups that would hold this position, generally speaking, won't be completely specific here, but, you know, a lot of followers of John Calvin, and that would be conservative Presbyterians and the PCA churches or Southern, a lot of Southern Baptists, they would say, no more gifts, no more supernatural gifts, that's over, they have ceased, don't seek them. That's position one. The second one is something called continuationist. Can you say that one with me? And these in this camp believe that the supernatural gifts that we've mentioned so far are still in operation today, and that the Holy Spirit still gives them to the church, and the church should still seek them and seek them with great enthusiasm. Such churches would be like, you know, the Pentecostals often are obviously in this group. Yeah, it's by definition of their name, Charismatics, Assemblies of God, Calvary Chapel, Vineyard Churches, and the like. And so they dive full bore into the spiritual gifts. You go to their churches and they're all, you know, speaking in tongues and prophesying and having dreams and visions and believe that these things are still in operation. Hence the word continuationist. The gifts of the Holy Spirit continue. That's the second group. The third group is very similar to that one. It's called continuationist with caution. Want to try that one? Continuationist with caution, meaning this group believes that the supernatural gifts are still in operation, that the Holy Spirit still does give them, but are also very on high alert, cautious to discern whether these things are indeed of the Holy Spirit or not. In other words, in certain churches that practice these kinds of things, those who believe in continuationist with caution would be like, well, but we need to test everything. We need to be very careful about this. And they're concerned that certain manifestations, supernatural experiences that are going on in some of these churches may not necessarily be the Holy Spirit. They could be, but then again, in some cases they might not be, or could be a counterfeit Holy Spirit. Maybe fake, or maybe just an evil spirit, and that would be a great trouble. So that would be continuing to believe that these gifts exist, but on high alert. So which one do you think we should be? Which do you think I am? Okay, what door number one, door number two, or door number three? Well, let's take a look. It doesn't really matter what I believe, frankly. It doesn't matter what our denomination believes. What matters is what God believes. And he tells us in the scriptures about this. So let's take a look. Let's take them one by one. First, let's consider the cessationists, those who say that these gifts, the supernatural gifts, prophecy, healing, working of miracles, tongues, that they have ceased thereover. Where do they get that belief? Well, they really just have one verse in the scriptures that they use to back this one up, basically. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 8. They say, it says here, love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For our knowledge is imperfect and our prophecy is imperfect. But when the perfect comes, the imperfect will pass away. So they say that verse proves it. They're over. They didn't continue. Why? Because they say when the perfect comes, then these imperfect things like tongues and prophecy are going to cease and pass away. And what they say is the perfect in this is the canon of Scripture, the closing of the canon. In other words, when the last New Testament letter was written, the Holy Spirit was done with these extra signs and wonders types of things, and it's over because the Scripture is here. The Bible's perfect. Scripture's perfect. Therefore, tongues and prophecy have ceased. That's their teaching. Does that make sense? Well, no. Why? Because what's the perfect being spoken of in this verse? Well, they're saying it's the closing of Scripture, but that's not what the Scripture says. The next verse, it says, when I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child, says Paul. But when I became a man, I gave up childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall understand fully, even as I've been fully understood. So what is the perfect in this verse? When tongues and prophecy will cease. When we see God face to face. When do we see God face to face? At the return of Christ. When he comes, then obviously when he comes and we see him face to face, you don't need tongues anymore. You don't need prophecy because you got everything. It's all perfect when he comes. And these things therefore will continue until we see God face to face. So I'm going to disagree with the cessationists on this one. It seems like they just came up with an idea. They don't want to teach these things. And so they found this verse and staked their flag there and said, well, this is the verse that's going to prove it for us as a foregone conclusion before looking at the scripture and seeing what it says. So that's a big problem and a big error. For we read in the very next line, 1 Corinthians 14, make love your aim and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. So if you're a cessationist, what do? You take the scriptures, you come to it, and you draw a big black line through that one. That is no longer in effect. That has an expiration date. Sort of like when you ask the FBI, you subpoena documents from them, and they just turn in a sheet with you, and they have black lines through everything. Well, that's what you're doing here. You're drawing a line through that verse. We're told to earnestly desire these things. They say no, the opposite. So in other words, the cessationists are teaching that the gifts of the Spirit came with an expiration date for the apostles' times, but after that, it's over. So I guess you'd have to say that a number of other verses too have expiration dates, like Luke 17. Jesus said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you could say to this sycamore tree, be rooted up and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. No, sorry, expired. Or Mark 9, all things are possible to him who believes. Well, nope, not anymore, expired. Or John 14, truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I go to the Father for a short little while, but it expired. So now, even if you do believe, all things are not possible to you, even if you do believe, because that's expired. So it's almost like calling these things, these promises of God, like milk. You remember, you know, you have milk at home, has an expiration date. It can sour and go bad. So you better drink it quickly in the first days of the church, because after that, the Holy Spirit's not giving these things anymore. But Paul says, even in 1 Corinthians 14, I want you all to speak in tongues, but even more, to prophesy. So there's no verse in Scripture that says that prophecy and tongues will cease. In fact, on the contrary, it says they'll continue until Christ returns. And one more thought on that is the Antichrist, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. What do we read about him? He's going to come with signs and wonders to deceive. What are we going to say then? That the Antichrist and the devil are open for business, but that the Holy Spirit has closed shop? I think not. The Holy Spirit is still open for business, so I don't go with the cessationists. Let's look at the next one, though. Continuationists. Those who say that the higher gifts, these supernatural things, do continue to the end of time. And then they go into them with a sort of unfettered enthusiasm, full bore. They run to prophecy, to prophesying, healing, working miracles, speaking in tongues, casting out demons, distinguishing between spirits, having dreams and visions like in a lot of Pentecostal and charismatic circles. Are they right? Well, yes, it is biblical. I agree with that. For Peter declared, and listen to this in Acts 2, in the last days it shall be that God declares, that I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Before the day of the Lord comes, the great and manifest day. That's the return of Jesus. So, yes, I agree biblically. But do I agree running into these things with unfettered enthusiasm, as some of them do in some of those churches? I'm speaking very generally here. Answer, no. I go with position three, which is continuationist with caution. Why? Because the Scripture teaches us, 1 John 4, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are of God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. So there is the genuine article. There is the real Holy Spirit gifts. And then there are fake ones, or perhaps worse, counterfeit ones, with maybe even an evil spirit behind them. So we need to be alert in everything in life, but especially these high spiritual matters. To test everything is the scriptural way. And so one of the troubles I have with some of the things going on in the charismatic Pentecostal churches is this, that I'm not saying this is always going on, but there is certain times when with all of these manifestations and these supernatural occurrences, their doctrine has gone awry with it. And that's a big problem. We need to be careful about the dangers of that. For example, what? Here's a couple of dangerous errors I perceive, I think I find in some of the churches that practice some of the higher gifts. Number one, some in these churches claim that Jesus' death on the cross took away all physical illnesses from Christians, such that, therefore, a Christian should never get sick. Is that right? In other words, they're going to say, if you are told by your doctor that you have cancer, and it's obvious that you do, and then you say, okay, I have cancer, then you're going against the doctrine. You should say, I don't have cancer. I don't care what that sheet says. I declare Jesus died for me. I am healed. I have nothing to do with cancer, and I should be healed. Is that the right way to take it? Well, friends, that is wrong. Why? Because not only is it unbiblical, because we can get sick, but it also can destroy the faith of the Christian who's suffering under some sort of illness. Think about that. If you declare these things, name it and claim it, and you don't get healed, not only do you still have your sickness, but now you wonder, am I ever even really saved? Because I didn't have faith to get healed. Am I even a Christian? That would be a dreadful error. You'd destroy a soul as well as a body. But the truth is this. Christ's death atoned for sins. And one day when Christ comes back, he will remove every disease from our bodies. But in the meantime, Christians can still get sick, and that's not a sin. Paul had ailments. Timothy got sick. Epaphroditus and Trophimus, their being sick was not credited to their lack of faith, but rather just for being in this world. So let's beware those who would not only fail at healing, but also destroy souls at the same time. Beware that. Second error is when they say, you must speak in tongues. Otherwise, in some cases, you're not saved, or at least you're a second-class Christian. If they teach that, run. For Paul says, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, do all work miracles, do all possess gifts of healing, do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? The answer to each of these is no, 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 no. So you can speak in tongues, but to require tongues is a dangerous doctrine. Stay away from it. Thirdly, you know, some of these churches have manifestations like supernatural occurrences, maybe even healings in these churches or things that occur. But I'm concerned that some of the manifestations here seem very off. For example, you ever seen these videos where the whole auditorium gets into hysterical, what they call holy laughter? Everybody's just freaking out laughing. Is that the biblical way? Then they roll on the floor. You know, that's where you get the term holy rollers, because people start rolling on the floor. Or they might have violent shakings on the floor or start writhing around like snakes. They do that in certain places. Or they get slain in the spirit, where people just fall over and completely disassociate and have no concept of reality anymore. And they call it getting drunk in the spirit. Is that right? Well, no. That's not what the scripture has as any example. Actually, the opposite. God did not give us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power and love and self-control. Friends, when the Holy Spirit is powerfully working in you, you don't get disassociated. You come into your right mind and become all the more sober. You don't fall down. You become upright, peaceful, and joyful with a clear mind. Remember that guy that had the legion cast out? Remember, with all those demons? He was out of his mind. Jesus heals the man. The herdsmen come back, and they find this man quietly sitting at Jesus' feet, clothed and in his right mind. Sober, excited, yes, but peaceful and thankful. Sober-minded. So when the Holy Spirit is manifesting himself, you should see more self-control, not less. So I'm concerned about the holy rollers, and especially if someone wriggles around like a snake on the ground. Snake in the grass, I mean, could that potentially be the Kundalini spirit of the Hindus, which is a snake spirit in their rituals? So beware counterfeit manifestations. What we got to do instead is test by the word. Stay rooted and grounded in the truth of the Bible. Fourthly and lastly here is, in certain charismatic circles, and this is really the worst, some have even denied the gospel of Jesus Christ while having manifestations, like Kenneth Hagin, who is called the father of the Word of Faith movement in a lot of charismatic churches. And he said this, listen, he said, he, Jesus, tasted spiritual death for every man, and his spirit and inner man went to hell in my place. Can't you see that? Physical death wouldn't remove your sins. He tasted death for every man. He's talking about spiritual death. In other words, he's teaching that Jesus' death on the cross, his spilling of blood, does not save you. And said Jesus had to go to hell, die spiritually, be born again spiritually. That's what saves you. Friends, that is evil. And that is a false doctrine. You got to run from that one as from a wolf in sheep's clothing. For the true gospel is, Peter declares, you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your fathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ saves you. And Paul says, far be it from me to glory except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. His death saves you. And when Jesus says, it is finished at the cross. Your salvation won, forgiveness of sins, and the free gift of eternal life to all who trust in him. So let's be careful. For Jesus proclaimed, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day of judgment, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name? And cast out demons in your name? And do many mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, says Jesus, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of evil. And Jesus says, beware of false Christs and prophets who will arise and show great signs and wonders so as to lead astray, if possible, even the elect. So where do I land? I land on, yes, they do continue, but we got to test everything. So let's be careful about the bad, but let's also not throw out the good. The Holy Spirit is still working, and wherever the Holy Spirit works, it is good and right and true and joyful. And he is still working supernaturally, even in our days. Let's trust him and look to what he might do amongst us. But especially, let's keep grounded on the Bible, the solid rock, Jesus Christ. That's where the Holy Spirit comes to point you, to Jesus, to his salvation at the cross, his life, his death, his resurrection, his ascension, and his coming again in glory. And the Holy Spirit, may he keep you and keep me by God's power, guarding us through faith for that salvation that's ready to be revealed in the last time. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message called, Have the Higher Gifts Ceased or Are They Still For Today? A broadcast of Chart and Compass Ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral. I'm Art Hansen, speaking for Pastor Greg Lassier. And if you're looking for a church home or would like to stop by and just visit, our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday and worship Bible study is at 7 p.m. on Wednesday. Christ Lutheran is located on Highway A1A in Cape Canaveral, right across from the old recreation center. If you'd like to hear more messages, be sure to visit our website at ChristLutheranChurchCapeCanaveral.org. Thanks for tuning in, and I look forward to sharing God's Word with you again next Monday at 12:30. Have a wonderful week in our Lord Jesus Christ, the great captain of our soul, and God bless you.